Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Good morning, Akeem. How are you?
Good morning, Akeem.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? I came through down there on the goal line, and I'm rushing the pass, and I'm doing everything I can to reach out and get a hold of them. And I catch a penalty, and that loses my team yards, you know? And so I guess it does, after a while, start to creep into your mind. Okay, let me pull off this hit. Let me pull off this hit. I don't want to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't put my team in a bad situation. But you still got to play the game of football, man. The game of football for us. That moment of you rushing the passer and finally getting there, it's so tough and hard. And you're straining your body so much to reach out and get there before those 3.4 seconds are up. If it does get out of his hand, you're already in the movement of making the tackle. So it gets real tough to pull off.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Now, we can bring in Anthony Heron. Kyle Long has a foot injury. If he makes it back in 8 weeks, that puts him back at the end of the regular season. What type of effect does Kyle Long being injured have on the Bears' offense?
This year, he'd been playing really well. And, you know, long story short, as far as him on the field, he may not physically be moving completely like the Kyle Long, but he's still moving really well, and he's still playing really well this season. They do have some depth on the interior of the offensive line if Eric Kush is able to quickly return to the lineup, and then you can still try to put your five best guys on the field together with James Daniels and Eric Kush and Cody Whitehair.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6.
I just kind of want to celebrate the Bears being fun. They are fun.
Yeah,
they are. They are. Exciting watch.
Going into the weekend, we felt it all last week.
But it's not just because they're good. You know, like there's a team that's good and competitive, and I know you love defense, but like if you play 9-6 football and you punt 12 times because it's about field position and your offense can't do anything, okay, like you could be good and defensive oriented, but boring.
Right.
This team is good, defensive oriented, and wildly entertaining.
Yes, they are. They've got a few personalities too. Tariq Cohen is among them, and Anthony Miller is among them also.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1-6, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
See dealer for details.
Breaking Bulls news. Fred Hoiberg has been fired. Keep it here for all the details on this huge story. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. Official radio home of the Chicago Bulls. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Give the gift of live sports this season with the Chicago Wolves Holiday Pack. Each pack includes tickets to the game of your choice, merchandise, food, and free parking, all at one low price. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Lowry Marketing, Chris Dunn, and Bobby Portis have missed nearly the entire season with injuries. Not enough to save Fred Hoiberg's job. Hoiberg out as the Bulls head coach after going 40 games below 500 in 3-plus seasons. Assistant Jim Boylan has been named the permanent head man. VP of basketball ops John Paxson will speak to the media around noon after practice. We will air it live. Breaking news on The Score brought to you by Rosen Hyundai in Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. To football, the Bears scored 27 points in a loss to the Giants with backup Chase Daniel. Score postgame host Olin Kreutz says the Bears are trying to figure things out on offense.
They're so young in this offense, they don't have their answers yet. They don't have all their answers to that yet, where if someone's blitzing off the edge and that end is coming inside and we're trying to run tackle trap to that area, we don't know what to do with that blitz yet. So they're still developing what they are.
Kreutz with Mully and Haw. The Bears still own a 1.5 game division lead. In Monday Night Football, Washington needs to beat Philadelphia to keep pace with Dallas in the NFC East. And in college buckets, DePaul hosts Florida A&M on The Score at 7:15, and number 9 Michigan State faces 14th ranked Iowa tonight. 670thescore.com/Mully and Haw is brought to you by local Geico agent Tim Calcagno at 630-671-0600. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked and most listened to sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com station.
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4-KIDS.
It's a movement. It's a revolution. And I'm excited to be a small part of it.
Rich Campbell.
I'll get up with you. Have some coffee.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat writer.
Everything that happened, every last word is in my notes.
Bringing you the latest from Hallis Hall.
I'm proud of them for fighting to the end. Not every team will do that. I think we got a bunch of high character guys that fight to the end, and that's a credit to them. So we got to figure out how to learn from this.
Asking hard-hitting questions.
What impressed you about Leonard Sack?
Rich Campbell with Bernstein and McKnight. On The Score.
Rich Campbell's brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. He appears at 11 on Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays, even when such days involve the news of the firing of the Chicago Bulls head coach that we continue to cover as well.
Even then.
Rich, it ended up being a memorable, exciting game for a lot of reasons. The outcome, not so much. Started out bad, finished bad, gave us 3 hours entertainment in between. What do we know more about the Bears?
Well, I think we can safely say after three straight weeks in which the offense has not outscored the opponent, that these guys are scuffling a little bit offensively. And Nagy called it rhythm. You know, it's just really searching for that rhythm early in the game. I know we talked all last week about starting this particular game fast, not letting that layoff and sort of the high of that three-game run through the North to sort of bring it down, to dull the edges of this offense. And first pass of the game was a pick six. The play before that was a negative run, and the play before that was a muffed kickoff. So they were not ready. You know, they weren't sharp at the start of it. But overall, offensively, yes, they were playing with the backup quarterback, and the Bears felt Mitch Trubisky's absence. But overall, they're not getting consistent production from enough people offensively. And I think as we get to December here and we have a, you know, really full sample size so far in this offense, I think we can safely say that this group is in a rebuilding stage. It's early on. They are making progress overall from last year, but still a lot of work to go offensively in all of their processes.
At the end of the day, Mitch Trubisky is going to come back at some point this season, or at least we all presume he will, and that offense should look better. What things do you expect the Bears to be able to do with Mitch this week in practice? How much, Matt's going to say what he says about Mitch and how much he's able to go, but I know you guys saw him warming up in New Jersey on Sunday. What did it look like to you, and what do you figure his prospects are?
That is the big difference between this Monday and last week when we still had not seen him throw. So he's obviously progressing, and he was throwing balls to the boundary. And so, okay, you understand they're trying to stretch him out a little bit and get his arm going. I think the keys for him are, how does he feel today after throwing yesterday? You know, he threw a little bit Friday, so how did he feel Saturday? He obviously is building in the right direction. Because he has thrown, I would expect him to play Sunday. I feel much more confident saying that than I would have this past week when we still hadn't seen him throw yet. There was nothing for our eyes to indicate that he was progressing. But this week, I think, was a little different. We'll know again on Wednesday. And if he's in Wednesday, then he's full go. Then you play him because he's capable of doing everything you ask him to do, making all the throws and doing those with velocity and the type of accuracy that you expect from him.
Plenty of questions about how the injury and subsequent recovery is going to affect his decision-making in the run game. And I think we have to differentiate that, Rich, between scrambles, you know, his desire to try to make something out of nothing, and then their use of RPOs, because there are plays on which he simply is to do what he is supposed to do based on what he sees. What I wonder is, in the in-between there, even on an RPO, would he be maybe a little gun shy and maybe see something in, shall we say, a different way when he makes the decision to pull the ball away and go now that he's protecting an injured shoulder?
Yeah, I suppose we're going to have to wait and see, and there's probably no real way to know that in advance, and we're going to have to continue to pick Mitch's brain about that. You know, one of the main, I think, positives, the traits that he has going for him is his instinctive athleticism. And it's a natural trait of his. It's innate, and I'm not sure that an injury is going to cause him to change that, that, you know, when he is out there, whatever he has done before the game to make sure he's not feeling pain during the game, that he's going to play it the way he normally would. I suppose there's just no way to know this until he actually gets out there and is faced with, you know, live tackling and big men trying to, you know, get him on the ground. But overall, I think, you know, what we've seen from Trubisky in terms of first of all, from Nagy in terms of play calling, is that Nagy will go full speed with play calling as though all his guys are healthy. He has showed this as Bears have rotated in players at certain positions, whether it's, you know, a throw to Ben Broniker in the end zone yesterday. You know, he likes,
yep,
he likes positional matchups. He likes schematic matchups, and he will go at it regardless of personnel.
That was a double team, too. That wasn't just that was throwing with two defenders on him.
Yes, yes. And so I think, you know, as it relates to Mitch, he's going to call the game like he calls it, and then Mitch is going to play it like he always does.
I'm wondering, we're talking with Rich Campbell at Rich_Campbell on Twitter, Bears beat writer, of course, here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned Nagy's search for rhythm offensively. In your opinion, and in the opinions of those that you talk to in and around Hallis Hall, do gadget plays like tosses to Cohen where he's throwing touchdowns or handoffs to Akeem Hicks, as fun, as effective as those can be, do those gadget plays take away from some sort of rhythm?
I don't think they take away from a rhythm as much as just identifying the right coverage on a third down,
okay,
you know, or making sure pass protection is sliding the right way against a blitz. That's the type of thing for me. And certainly some of these negative runs or these runs for 2 yards or less, which the Bears have had way too many this season, That's the stuff that gets you out of rhythm a little bit more. The gadget plays, you know, I kind of come down in between them. They are fun for all of us. If Akeem Hicks doesn't get in the end zone yesterday on a 4th-and-1 handoff, everybody's saying, how do you not give it to Jordan Howard in that situation? I mean, those things are cool until they don't work. And if you call them, they better work. And they did. So, you know, full credit to Nagy and the Bears for drawing it up and executing it in a way that, you know, that was productive for them. But, yeah, I think it's more of just sort of the more fundamental elements of the game that you have to just get first downs. And they were brutal on third down yesterday. I think it was like 2 for 15. I mean, that will stop you at your rhythm every time. And they just have to start by doing better on first and second down. It starts with a commitment to the running game, which I think we've seen waver in the second half of a lot of games this year, even if the Bears are winning games. And from there, making sure that your passing game is sharp on third and manageable.
What's the significance of the playing time for Taequann Mizell? What does it mean that he's out there as much as he is?
I think it means that they're looking for answers. I think that is a move out of necessity, that if the Bears were comfortable with the personnel they had on the field for the first, you know, whatever, 8 to 10 games, that he wouldn't be playing as much. But they're looking for matchup advantages, and they feel like they get one with some of his speed. He's not as fast as Tariq Cohen. You know, he's not quite the player Cohen is. But I go back to this point that I think we can very clearly see that this offense and its rebuilding, for all of the resources they put in at the receiver position, in the offseason, including Trey Burton in that, there's another round of this coming, that Nagy is still searching for the right personnel to make them the type of team the Kansas City Chiefs are, because they have the NFL's best all-around tight end and the fastest guy in the league in Tyreek Hill. You know, the Chiefs have players. You know, the Bears are still building, and while they're a lot better than they were, yeah, I think the fact that you see Mizell out there is just a testament to the search, because
you got to keep searching.
I mean, feel like he's a game breaker, right? I
mean, keep searching, because
that's it.
I've seen enough to know the search must continue.
That's it. And you know, at some point, you play with the guys you have, and that's where they are.
Tariq Cohen is the fulcrum on this offense. I mean, outside of the quarterback position, which obviously will hopefully have Mitch Trubisky back at some point, he's absolutely fantastic. And Allen Robinson made some grown man catches yesterday. But where has Trey Burton been? Either I don't have him. I'm looking at my both box scores. I don't have him for a target yesterday. I don't know if the box score you got after the game, Rich, said different, but I don't have him for a target, and he's had a couple of bad ones here.
I'm scanning it very quickly. I have him for one target, and it was not completed.
Okay.
So he had, I will say in Burton's favor, he had a couple of good blocks in the running game that keyed some of those 20-plus yard runs that Jordan Howard had. That is not his strong suit, and it has shown this season that it is not his strong suit. But yesterday, he contributed in the run game. So we will say that for him. But I'm with you that they need more players who are open all the time. I think yesterday, one thing I'm interested to ask Nagy when we get him here at the top of the hour is Chase Daniel's field vision. I think from our perch in the hot dog laden press box that there were open receivers yesterday that were not being identified and targeted. Maybe when we go back and watch it a little more closely this evening that we'll see Burton was in that group. But yeah, I'm with you that look, he did not have a good game against the Lions, and I don't think it was a concerted effort to go away for him or anything like that. I think the Bears have a lot of confidence in him. Whatever, you know, the Giants were doing to take him away worked enough, and you know, he was involved on the Oompa Loompa play that tied the game at the end of regulation. He was the first one to get his hands on the ball there, so he was involved a little bit, but yeah, not the type of production in the box score that the Bears need.
Can you ask him why they seem to like these Willy Wonka-themed plays? They had a play that was called Willy Wonka with the two quarterbacks out there, and now a play called Oompa Loompa. How far down does this go, and why the fixation on that?
So we had a hard time getting to the bottom of this when they first ran Willy Wonka, and the best we can assert from sort of the snickers that the quarterback type people on the team, I'm talking Nagy, Dave Ragone, even Mitch, was that that's what they call Chase Daniel. That's as close as I can get to it. The sort of shorter, squattier quarterback there. That's my guess, put it that way.
I like the fact you get in a Snickers reference and we talk about a chocolate factory as well. That's nicely done.
Let me ask you about the timeouts that were and weren't called by Matt Nagy, and just this idea that, you know, he goes away from the run game late. Howard had, what was it, I think 13 for 60 something in the first half, and then just a couple afterward. It felt to me like a coach who has a, you know, there's the game you plan for, and there's the game that it ends up being, and then the adjustments you make to it. It felt like he was a coach trying to rest that game back to the point of the game he planned for, trying to make it into the game he wanted it to be from jump. That didn't happen because of the fumbles, because of the interceptions, because of Chase Daniel. And it felt like with the timeouts, or not calling one late in the fourth quarter, that he was just kind of trying to force things back. I don't know if you feel the same way, but if that was a rookie head coach trying to exercise his will on the game, how do you feel it turned out at the end?
Well, what do you mean? Well, like, what feeling did you have that he wanted the game to be? And when did you think he should have called timeout?
Well, in the first quarter, in the second quarter, I think you don't wait as long as he did to make it.
And then, not at all. That was bad.
And what he said afterward was just, I mean, you knew he was searching for an answer there and didn't come up with one. And then with 3:22 left, Mac gets the sack on Eli. That's 3rd and 8, and he lets 40 seconds run off the clock there before Dixon punts it back to the Bears, and then Gabriel gets the fumble. It just seems like that was an offense that was going to need time to do what it did. You don't know the fumble's coming, and you don't, you know, and I was saying you can't, you know, from the back end go that way to the timeout, but that's a timeout I take.
Yeah, I think that's sort of a 6 of 1, half dozen of the other, that I can understand why Nagy would say, I want to leave the timeouts in my quarterback's pocket.
Yeah.
Just because we don't know what type of plays unfold. We don't know if how good the Giants are at taking away the boundary and the ability to stop the clock there. You could call it on the front side of the 2 minute warning, and they were, you know, they got the ball back with 2:26 and they still had the full complement there. I didn't have a huge problem with that one. I see it both ways. And as, you know, with the quarterback, the coach is a former quarterback. I think you understand why he wants to empower his QB with those. But I'm with you. That one at the end of the first half was bad. That was mismanaged, and I think Nagy knew it. You know, to talk about we were going to give our punt block team a chance, that is wild explanation. And we're going to actually have to get into it a little bit more with him at the top of the hour here, because I want to give him a chance to sound it out now that he's had a chance to go back and look at the clock. And look, we've talked about it here, you know, in this spot that – he's growing. He's learning as a head coach. He's never done this before. And when you are in first place in a playoff race, these growing pains have consequences. And it gave the Giants life yesterday. Guy hits a 57-yard field goal, and they go to the half with some momentum, and the it was part of 17 unanswered points. That was a learning moment for the head coach, and you just have to assume that he's going to get better at this over time, and he's got to prove that he will.
Honest question, honest answer. Are the Bears doing enough to take advantage of the attention being paid to Khalil Mack, or should they be doing more?
I think Leonard Floyd had an okay game yesterday. Got home, did have a sack, and they were moving him. They were moving Mack around a little bit. They've tried to line those two guys up on the same side and run games with them to maybe get Floyd looped inside a little bit. I think they are doing okay. I mean, Mack was blocked one on one at times yesterday. I mean, it wasn't his best game, not by a long shot. I think, you know, with the personnel they have up there, Hicks and Floyd being the two that really come to mind, you know, they will also blitz Bryce Callahan, which they did a little bit yesterday, where they can have Mack sort of pinch his rush and sort of open up the edge for Callahan. I think they did that. So, yeah, I think they're doing okay with that stuff, you know, without being completely privy to the game plan and how they draw it up.
How bad is Eric Kush if he can't supplant Brian Witzman?
This is a big personnel black mark for the way this roster was assembled at the beginning of the year. I mean, remember, the Bears signed Kush to be their starting left guard, and Kush has been demoted twice. He lost his job to a rookie that the Bears didn't want to play, and then he lost his job to a street free agent. I mean, that's bad. I mean, that's a personnel mistake. And I think it's part of the run game problems here is that, yeah. And you know, this will be validated in the offseason, I think, when we watch the Bears go out and get maybe two new offensive linemen to start for them.
So,
and then we'll say, okay, yeah, we know where they think the problems are.
I know we got to kind of bake Witzman's performance or lack thereof into this, but do you feel as though Chase Daniel's issues, you know, with whether accepting the snap and keeping the timing of plays on was a factor that exacerbated the offensive line's bad play, or was that just a bad game from the offensive line and 1 through 5 left to right, something that you now worry about in a different way?
Well, I would say that you could look at the run production, and Jordan Howard had some runs of, you know, yards that he hasn't been having. So in that regard, the offensive line maybe took a step forward. Now, I think we can all question Matt Nagy's commitment to the running game. This is more than a trend at this point. How interested is Nagy in letting his guys run 4 or 5 times in a row? They had a stretch yesterday on their first touchdown drive where they ran 6 times in a row. Mm. And I believe it was for over 60 yards that they just kept biting off chunks here. That type of commitment hasn't been there, but the offensive line at times yesterday was capable. Now, I think if when we talk to Nagy here about the 5 sacks, I think we're going to see again that this was Daniel holding the ball, maybe quote unquote coverage sacks. I thought it was, you know, more infrequent than the other way around that the offensive line was just getting beat really badly in pass pro. Thought Daniel was holding the ball a little bit and guys weren't getting open. But again, I think their negative plays in the run game are a problem. The snapping issues yesterday resurfaced, and they were a real hindrance. That was really bad. Put the Bears off schedule and behind the chains a couple times, and they were sloppy. They were just sloppy all around.
Rich, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Have a great week, guys.
Thank you. Rich Campbell. We'll talk again next week on Bears Monday after the Rams game. This is a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday. Bernstein and McKnight middays on the score. Shortly before we went on the air, we got the news that the Bulls had relieved head coach Fred Hoiberg of his duties. That's just part of the story, and we're going to address this as the Bulls are currently practicing at the Advocate Center. There is going to be a press conference where their new head coach, Jim Boylan, will be available along with Executive Vice President John Paxson to speak and take questions from the assembled media. They have hired their coach. This is not an interim head coach. They have made their decision that the former associate head coach and assistant Jim Boylan is going to be the guy to have an opportunity, the first crack at this new healthy core that involves Wendell Carter Jr. We are talking Bears. We are talking Bulls. We are talking with you. We have an opportunity to find out what you think. 312-644-6767. We're going to be carrying that Bulls press conference live as soon as it occurs. Also keeping an eye on all the news out of Hallis Hall. So don't miss a minute. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
I don't know if anyone saw this coming. Bears lose to the Giants. Come on. The Giants? Lawrence Holmes here, night 6-10. The Bears are now 8-4 after the loss. Keep it right here, Bears fans, as we recap the game and look at their next matchup, a big-time major test against the Los Angeles Rams in prime time on Sunday night. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Stay ahead of the game. Find an agent at farmers.com. The Genius 13 had a glorious opportunity yesterday to do something that would have been unprecedented in the history of big-time college sports. The right thing. All they had to do was say, we think any team that goes undefeated should be allowed to compete for a national championship. And so our four playoff teams are Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Central Florida. All are undefeated. No further explanation needed. But naturally, they never considered that. There's nothing more fraudulent than claiming that 128 teams are eligible to compete for the championship when in truth only 65 have any chance. I'd say the Genius 13 should be ashamed, but that would be a waste of time. Clearly, they have no shame. I'm John Feinstein.
When pros go to the Home Depot, they want to get what they need quickly and get back to the job. That's why pros count on the Home Depot's free in-store pickup. Online orders, ready in as little as 2 hours, to grab the moment they arrive. That saves time. Pro Extra members save even more. With exclusive offers and benefits, time-saving free in-store pickup, extra benefits, and exclusive offers for Pro Extra members. Only at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. All the wireless charging and savings enlarging, the deals are right here.
Get amazing deals on any new Hyundai at the Hyundai Holiday Sales Event, going on now. Now, lease a Hyundai Tucson for just $149 a month for 36 months with $3,149 due at signing. Or get up to $3,000 in total savings during Hyundai Holidays. Visit your local Chicago or Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealer today. Call 877-248-1585 for details.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Devotion doesn't settle. It doesn't stop at good enough. Devotion goes the extra mile. That's why when you shop the incredible selection of Pandora jewelry at Jared from December 6th through 10th, we'll include a free limited edition sterling silver bangle with any Pandora purchase of $125 or more. Because devotion deserves a little something extra. Just shop our Pandora collections online or find a store near you at jared.com and dare to be devoted.
Imagine your dream carpet installed for free. The Home Depot offers all-inclusive installation on minimum purchases of $699. That's removal of your old carpet, basic furniture moving, and stairs, so the dream carpet you want comes at the price you were expecting. Free carpet installation that's actually free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid only on showroom carpet price $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Make your tailgate legendary this season with four delicious flavors of easy-to-make Bloody Marys from Mr. and Mrs. T. Pick up Mr. and Mrs. T original Bloody Mary mix today at Schnucks.
Sorry I'm late. I thought I left the garage open and had to drive all the way home again.
Funny, I left mine open today too, but I got a text from my security system letting me know.
Your security system?
Yeah, it's got Alarm.com technology. It knew I left the garage open and sent me an alert. Then I just closed it from my phone. Alarm.com systems are professionally monitored. If there's an emergency, the police or fire department are going to respond. With the kids, it was an easy choice. Literally, with one app, I can control the smart thermostat, Video cameras, doorbell cameras, smart locks, even the garage door.
Don't tell me you installed all that.
No way. Security is for the pros. I had one of Alarm.com's local service providers design the ideal system for our home and install it. They did a fantastic job, it was fast, and I got a great deal.
So how do I get Alarm.com?
Easy. Just go to Alarm.com/radio to find local professional service providers you can choose from.
Alarm.com/radio?
Yep, Alarm.com/radio.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Because, you know, like, everyone's going to have Mitch Trubisky jerseys. Everyone's going to have Khalil Mack jerseys. But if you want to be, like, the hipster Bears fan.
Is that what you're aiming for?
Well, I don't really wear jerseys anymore. But
yeah.
Tariq Cohen, Anthony Miller, Eddie Jackson are really good nominations for, like, second-tier Bears that are going to be fan favorites in this city. Am I wrong about that?
No, yeah, I think you're right. It's, you know, when you look at the linebackers, Mac is clearly the fan favorite.
Roquan had the missed tackle on Diggs.
I think he's been terrific as a first-year player. I have no quarrel with Roquan Smith. Arrow is pointing up, my friend.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Hi, Lance. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
That's Lance Briggs. Also happens to be a former Bears linebacker. Mm-hmm. It's a thing when the Bears defense is good, man. I don't know if you feel it like fans feel it, but it is. It's different in this town when the Bears defense is really good.
You're right. And from a defense standpoint, they're to me, they're second to none.
Have you learned yet diagnosing Matt Nagy's offense? If you were playing out there now, have you seen in 10 games, say, okay, I can ignore that, or that's eyewash, that's not real? Do you have a book on it yet?
Of course, there's a book on all offenses, because as fun as and as smart as it looks, you know, offensive coaches aren't as smart as they really think they are.
Of course.
Or as smart as they tell you.
Right.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
What if every time you went out, you could cash in? Now with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. Like learning more about each other on your first date.
You play the oboe.
Or discovering they can't hit the high notes at your favorite karaoke bar.
Oh, yeah!
No matter your reason for going out, now you have four more. Introducing the new Saver Card from Capital One. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Keeter. Welcome to the family.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's not about winning.
We'll make it about winning, Pat.
I'd like it to be about winning.
Come on. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. We'll find out more from the Bulls in short order. Also digesting yesterday's Bears defeat on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. The Score, still a lot more to come from the principals involved with the Bulls and the Bears. They'll be speaking around the same time in different places, at the Advocate Center and at Hallis Hall, and we will be harvesting information from both for you. Rogers Park, Phil, you're on WSCR.
Hey, guys. This is a quick question, and I probably know what your answer is going to be, but I'm just wondering, do you think Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf will ever sell the Bulls?
If you owned the Bulls, would you?
Obviously, I would not. They make a ton of money. They would sell for, what, $2 billion if they sold today, maybe more.
Yeah, more.
You know, I just obviously, no, I wouldn't sell them. But you know what? If I ran the team, I would, and you might disagree, you know, who am I? I'm just some random caller calling your show. But I would run a better operation than they would. Like, I'm not, because I care about winning. I just don't think that they care about winning, you know? I really don't.
Why don't you think that?
Because of their past and the fact that they've allowed
the past includes six titles.
Okay, so We disagree. I'm of the belief that Michael Jordan has single-handedly wiped away and completely dissolved their lack of competence and their dysfunction as an ownership.
Michael Jordan did it?
Yeah, I think that he completely put up this mirage to the NBA that the Reinsdorfs are actually good owners because they happen to have Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the greatest player that ever played basketball, okay? And the fact is, do you not want to hear my answer?
Yeah, but there's a pretty good player in LA.
I know. LeBron's second, okay? Whatever. I mean, you can have that debate. The reason I called is I have complete lack of faith that they're ever going to get it right. And
why?
I understand that they had Jordan. Why? Why are you against it? I mean, this is so obvious.
I'm asking.
Well, if you give me the time, I'll
say. Okay, you sound like something you just wanted to say regardless of what the response is.
Not at all. I just wanted to hear your opinion. I can say, based on the fact that John Paxson has been employed by them for over 15 years, in that span, the longest tenured executives in the NBA have been the following. R.C. Buford with the Spurs, Danny Ainge with the Celtics, Pat Riley with the Heat, and Mitch Kupchak with the Lakers, who was fired after not only winning multiple championships, but, John Paxson has one conference finals victory in 15 years, 5 head coaches on his resume,
6.
Physically assaults Vinny Del Negro, 6, thank you, Vinny Del Negro, and still we're asking the question, does the ownership group really want to win?
I think those are different questions. I don't think one's necessarily completely proves the other if they feel that that gives them the best chance to win.
I mean,
the way you describe want to that I don't think is fair.
Okay, I just think when you say you're rebuilding the team and then you sell a draft pick for $3.5 million, that the Warriors publicly came out and said.
Well, that's a quibble. If you're talking about
we're talking about messaging and their past
If you're talking about an end of roster player, you think has a difference than winning an NBA championship?
Was Manu Ginobili not a second round pick? There's so many examples, Dan, of guys.
So was Tony Kukoc.
Stars. Who cares? I mean, you prove my point. There's guys that are available in the second round that turn into stars in this league. I mean, we're debating minute details.
Here's the thing, though, Phil.
I think most people would agree with me.
Well, we're not running for office here. I think everybody's disappointed that the Bulls haven't won a championship.
Why are you defending them? I don't understand. Why are you defending them?
Phil, here's what I think. I think you win an NBA championship by having one of the best players in the league, or two now of the best players in the league. I am all open to every possibility for you to tell me how the Bulls can get one of the best players, a Hall of Fame player is what you need. You need at least one Hall of Famer at the peak of his abilities. And that's what I look at every year. And if you can tell me that recipe, if you can tell me how, because I like the Bulls core right now, but I don't think that they're on a championship trajectory right now.
And committing to the tank more.
I mean, I think committing to the tank more would be one way to do it. But if you could give me that recipe that brings them a Hall of Fame player or two in their respective primes, I'm all ears, man.
Dan, I've heard you make this argument year after year, defending this organization.
Listen, I'm not. I mean,
such an easy argument to make, though, because it's such a
Phil. If we're going to talk about this, let's talk about this. You cannot defend a lack of titles if that's the standard. My honest question is to you.
Yeah.
You said you could run a better organization.
I can.
Okay, Phil. How would you right now immediately?
Yep.
Find 2 Hall of Fame players in their prime.
Okay, so to answer your question exactly how you want it, I can't give you the names of Zion Williamson or whoever else you're looking for in terms of basketball players to establish my point.
Or free agents. I don't need exact names. I don't need exact names. I'm honestly curious. I think you're really passionate about the Bulls. But you don't have to give them names. It could be player X, it could be player Y, it could be free agent.
Okay.
What do you do differently to get those guys here as quickly as possible?
Okay, so first move. I hold a press conference. I say, John Paxson, Gar Forman, we appreciate your service. You've been relieved of your duties. You're going to be replaced. Andy Ellsberg of the Miami Heat was a crucial member in getting LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh together in 2010. I believe in him as an executive. I've met him personally at games. He's very, very highly thought of. He would be one of the many guys that I would consider to run the basketball operations. Mike Zarin has an analytics background. He is a JD from Chicago.
All right, we're a long way to getting these Hall of Fame players.
Okay, well,
here.
I mean, you want names.
How many years will it take?
These are, I don't know how many years.
Hold on a second.
Dan,
I'm trusting the process then, Phil. If I'm hiring you to do this, how many years would be reasonable?
I'm not going to put a number on it.
This is your job interview. This is your job interview.
Here's the job interview. Your last guy had 15 years.
I'm asking you, less than that. Okay, how
you
many?
Know why? Because I don't sell draft picks. I don't assault coaches. I don't do this. I don't have the media be a microphone for me and be puppet propagandists for me, okay? As we saw the case for years. John Paxson's water was carried by members of the media. You defend him still to this day. I don't know why, but it's just the ownership. If ownership really wants to win, they would have made it happen already.
If they want to fire him tomorrow, I have no problem with it. I just think in the NBA, you can't create all-time great players. This is a league where the only teams that have a chance to win a championship are teams that happen to have two Hall of Fame players in their prime. Yeah. And if Andy Ellsberg is part of your magic formula to trust a new process, I wish you luck, Phil, and I hope you get an opportunity to build an NBA team.
Ben, don't let anybody tell you that you're just some caller to the show. We love you,
That's
Phil.
Great.
Good job.
Yeah, Dan will be a jerk to every caller, just like you.
Get it done, Phil.
You're being a jerk to him.
I like the passion. He's called a million times.
Phil has?
Yes.
I haven't heard Phil in a while.
So, but you always ask for specifics, and he gave you specifics.
Damn right.
And you were just done with it.
I left him out for 7 minutes.
Guy had a CV.
Right, and you couldn't
for an
let him finish a sentence. And you couldn't let him finish a sentence.
I thought he did great. And he said, "I want to hear your opinion," but he doesn't want to hear an opinion.
Phil's awesome.
Phil's called a bunch of times. He says he has questions. He doesn't really have questions, and he gives the same manifesto every time. And that's great. He loves the Bulls.
Well, that was my first time through the Phil manifesto. I quite enjoyed it.
I hope he gets an opportunity to hire his guys and put his thing in place. But I like
that he's meeting guys at games. Like, what tickets does you have?
He's not wrong about the direction, though. The fact that, you know, now all of a sudden we're all good about, oh, yeah, you know, they said rebuild and tank and all this stuff, but now you have to worry about wins? That's not how they're going to get that guy. So if you're always, Mr. How do you get closer to a championship, shouldn't you be stumping the table to lose more games instead of just saying, hey, wins are okay?
I brought that up mentioning Zion Williamson in particular just because he's the latest MacGuffin. There's always a MacGuffin. There's always that guy who represents hope for the future in some sort of magical way.
Yeah, but in this draft, there might be multiple MacGuffins.
Who might actually be real people.
Well, because you get to spin the wheel as many times, or because there are so many positive outcomes on the wheel once you get there.
I never get mad at a team for tanking. I don't care if it's a baseball team. I will never, ever get mad at a team for tanking. However, I also believe when a team says our young core can't get develop losing habits, I think it has some validity too. I don't think there's necessarily a blueprint that's a right answer. What Sam Hinkie did to get that team back, I mean, the number of failed first round picks.
Yeah.
I mean, there is in this league, it's not the NFL where you can just get good and be good because it's your turn. You can't do that in basketball. You can't do it in the NBA. There are only five players on the floor. If there were some magical way to say you get LeBron James or you get Kawhi Leonard or whoever it is, I'm all ears. I just don't, I don't know how that's supposed to be done.
We are going to be all ears when we carry the press conference the Bulls will have. We're expecting it right around the noonish area, maybe a little bit afternoons whenever they're done with practice. John Paxson is going to speak and you will hear it live on the Score. When we come back, I want to bring up, there is a sense of missed opportunity that I don't know is landing with as many Bears fans as I'd like it to land today. Yesterday was weird and fun late, and
it was fun.
Bad for a little while.
It was entertaining.
But there's missed opportunity, and maybe I can bring in some outcomes from around the league that helped drive this home a little bit.
On a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buyfordnow.com. So you're going to land the ship?
I'm trying to, yeah.
All right, Connor, we'll do that next on The Score.
Breaking Bulls news. Fred Hoiberg has been fired. Keep it here for all the details on this huge story on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls.
Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai in Algonquin. Save time, shop online at Rosen Hyundai.
Right now, the Home Depot has the Philips Hue Smart Lighting Starter Kit at a special buy. Just $169.15. Smart bulbs with geofencing technology to come on when you come home and know when you're not. Lights that mimic the body's circadian rhythm for more restful sleep cycles. So why just change your light bulbs when you can change everything? The Philips Hue Smart Lighting Starter Kit, now just $169.15 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last.
Imagine your dream carpet installed for free. The Home Depot offers all-inclusive installation on minimum purchases of $699. That's removal of your old carpet, basic furniture moving, and stairs, so the dream carpet you want comes at the price you were expecting. Free carpet installation that's actually free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid only on showroom carpet price. $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
I just kind of want to celebrate the Bears being fun. They are fun.
Yeah.
They are an exciting watch.
Going into the weekend. We felt it all last week.
But it's not just because they're good.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
One of Chicago's most legendary teams partners with 670 The Score. Official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline. Will right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three, go.
Oh. What a shot.
Zipser's going to attempt the left side three.
Yes.
The kick-out, Portis, three ball for the tie.
Yes.
Bobby Portis has tied the ballgame with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Your new radio home for the Bulls.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Allen Robinson.
You guys as a group, as receivers, seem to enjoy putting pads on guys downfield, don't you?
Most definitely. You know, I think a big part of our offense, you know, is a block on the perimeter. You know, that's for short passes. That's for outside runs. That's for quarterback runs. You know, that's for everything, you know. So, I think another undervalued thing that goes unnoticed is, you know, just as an offense, you know, we love to see each other be successful. You know, it's a group of guys that we have fun playing together, you know, since day one. You know, we have a lot of different skill sets. We have a lot of talent, you know, and when you got that out there, you know, it's fun blocking for those guys. You know, it's fun playing with those guys. You know, you got guys like Tariq and Taylor and Anthony Miller and Trey. You know, I mean, we have fun getting each other open, you know, blocking for each other. You know, we have fun out there.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Donate your car today to the Purple Heart Foundation. Donating is easy, hassle-free, and your donation is tax-deductible. Last year, the Purple Heart Foundation provided assistance to over 18,000 of America's bravest veterans, helping them with VA benefits, coping with post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and providing suicide prevention assistance. You can be the difference. Donate your car today. Visit donatepurpleheart.org. That's donatepurpleheart.org.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Lance Briggs. It's a thing when the Bears defense is good, man. I don't know if you feel it like fans feel it, but it is, it's different in this town when the Bears defense is really good.
You're right. And from a defense standpoint, they're to be their second to none.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Hi, Lance. Good to see
you. That's Lance Briggs. Also happens to be a former Bears linebacker. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that you need to keep that chip on your shoulder to keep to keep you guys fueled for the following week or to keep pressing on, I'm fine with it. Whatever. I don't. This is definitely not a city that has fans that don't believe. You know, might be critical, and they're gonna say what they're gonna say when they see it. But they're behind their Bears 100%. Nobody believed in us but us. Mantra, yeah. Which
Mitch,
you know,
dropped that yesterday.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's okay. Not, the coaches haven't played that card.
No,
though.
But Mitch did, and I mean, he's an extension of Nagy, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
I just kind of want to celebrate the Bears being fun. They are fun.
Yeah,
they are. They are an exciting watch.
Going into the weekend. We felt it all last week.
But it's not just because they're good. You know, like there's a team that's good and competitive, and I know you love defense, but like if you play 9-6 football and you punt 12 times because it's about field position and your offense can't do anything, okay, like you could be good and defensive oriented, but boring.
Right.
This team is good, defensive oriented, and wildly entertaining.
Yes, they are. They've got a few personalities too. Tariq Cohen is among them, and Anthony Miller is among them also.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1-6, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's alarm.com/protect.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Talking Bulls and Bears on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Just to tell you about what the plan is going to be from here on in. We are now told that the Bulls press conference may be closer to 12:30. Matt Nagy is scheduled to talk at noon at Halas Hall. And sometimes he's late. Sometimes we're hoping he's on time. We're going to do our best to try to give you what we can bring you from both. And if we can't bring it all to you live, we'll be getting the news in real time. So we're going to manage it for you. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to get everything we need to get.
No, you will get everything we can possibly get to you over the next hour and a half.
And you are weaving some things together regarding the meaning of this.
Listen,
Bears game.
I understand that Bears game yesterday was a weird, fun thing that didn't work out for the Bears. And because you had Chase Daniel there, it might not feel the way it would if you had Mitch Trubisky. But the Saints lost to the Cowboys on Thursday, and that opened a shot at a round one bye. It did. It opened a shot at a round one bye.
It was tantalizing.
Look at the rest of your schedule, Chicago Bears, and tell me that you didn't have a chance at a round one bye by taking out a last place 3-8 Eli Manning quarterbacked Giants team. You got the Packers, you got the Niners, and you got the Vikings left on your schedule. Granted, that Rams game's going to be a tough one, but I think you probably put that in the loss column to begin with. They're really good. Chase Daniel gave the Bears and Bears fans a yeah, but. But yeah, buts, I don't think work for first place teams in the NFL. They don't. The Chiefs were bad yesterday against the Raiders. Did you catch some of that game? They were bad. They didn't have Kareem Hunt. They had Spencer Ware instead. They won. First place teams do that. The Rams were terrible versus the Lions. Goff was awful.
So are you saying that what
he had a pick, he had like 17 completions. They have Todd Gurley. They won.
So this is a heat check. This was a reminder that you're not there yet. That this sometimes the success can be more incremental than we hope it is. That the Bears are good, but they're not great.
They're good, but they're not great. And a chance at getting great is made a lot easier with a first-round bye, with home playoff games. The Vikings last year don't they feel a little bit like the Bears do right now? The surprise team.
Yeah, but
they have a better quarterback situation. The Bears have a better quarterback situation than the Vikings had last year.
And the Vikings have defensive-minded head coach.
They do have defensive-minded head coach, but they also had a great defense last year that hasn't shown up this season. Not in the same way. They've been good at times, but not in the same way. You look at the struggles early on. Everson Griffin misses some weeks. That's a choppy defensive effort. They add Kirk Cousins. They add franchise quarterback and take a step back for a couple of different reasons. Don't be the Vikings. Like, it's a promise to you. You're not guaranteed anything. You could be a defense with Akeem Hicks and with Khalil Mack and with Kyle Fuller all there on the defense next year. I don't know what happens with Callahan or some of the unrestricted free agents, but you could be a team with all those elements there. Might not look the same.
You might not get the same breaks in the schedule either, just overall.
Well, you won't.
You'll have
a first-place schedule next year as opposed to the last-place schedule you had this year.
Again, though, we don't know until the season starts who's hurt, who's not, who's inexplicably bad, and
That's
who's
true.
Inexplicably good. It's a fool's errand to start thinking that just because it's a first-place schedule, who knows what could happen between now and then.
Yeah, I still think you'd rather roll those dice than the first place schedule dice.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, that this is... You had a chance here, but maybe we've learned that the Bears aren't that good yet. Maybe it's one of our markers that you can get tagged on the road by a lesser team.
But a problem here is that the defense has played better. It's played up to that top tier in the NFL, and you let that offense, that Giants offense, take it to you.
Sam in Lincoln Park, you're on WSCR.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Sam.
I got two questions for you. One Bulls question, one Bears question. I'll start with a Bulls question. Does this hire seem a little bit rushed? I mean, wouldn't it be in their best interest to name him interim coach, see who gets released at the end of the season, and then evaluate from there? And then for the Bears question, when do we start to get worried that Trubisky's injury is more serious than they're leading on?
Well, short answer to the second one, if he misses the next game.
Yeah, it's
right?
If he misses this week's practices and if he misses the game against the Rams, that's when you worry.
As far as the first question, I want to know today at the Bulls press conference why they were so certain that Jim Boylan was to be the head coach and not interim. I want to hear their explanation because I don't know the answer.
That's what I want most out of this press conference is how hard they're going to prop up Jim Boylan. How
contract
far
extension.
Are you willing to go for Jim Boylan?
Yeah, I want to know the answer to that because when you say rushed, I don't think the firing was necessarily rushed at all.
Could have done it sooner.
Right. As far as this hire, when I scanned that first press release and I was looking for the word interim, I thought they might have forgotten the word interim. And then I saw that Adrian Wojnarowski said from his own sources that it is not interim.
That's right.
This is the permanent. Temporary, permanent head coach.
The permanent temporary coach.
Of the Bulls right now is Jim Boylan. They were that sure. Today, they should have to explain why. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Coach Collins in Northwestern Basketball, the new Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Press conferences of some kind.
All of them.
All of the press conferences and all
dueling
of the
press conferences.
Coaches and people are going to be talking, so don't go anywhere. Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
In 1924, Husky started making things for people who make things. Common sense tools. They still do. Like a 46-inch mobile workbench for just $398. Think that's good? Work on this. A solid wood top for extra workspace. 9 24-inch deep drawers rated up to 100 pounds to hold everything from sockets to circle saws. It's even got heavy-duty wheels to roll wherever duty calls. Husky. Common sense tools since 1924. Only at the Home Depot.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Good morning, Akeem. How are you?
Morning, Akeem.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? I came through down there on the goal line, and I'm rushing the pass, and I'm doing everything I can to reach out and get a hold of them, and I catch a penalty, and that loses my team yards. You know? And so I guess it does. After a while, I start to creep into your mind. Okay, let me pull off this hit. Let me pull off this hit. I don't want to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't put my team in a bad situation, but you still got to play the game of football, man. The game of football is rough. That moment of you rushing the passer and finally getting there, it's so tough and hard. It's just straining your body so much to reach out and and get there before those 3.4 seconds are up. If it does get out of his hands, you're already in the movement of making the tackle. So it gets real tough to pull off.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Lance Briggs. Right. But when you have a rookie head coach,
yeah,
when you start to actually sense all the stuff about play loose, be you, we're a family, all that, when it's reinforced with success, how does a player incorporate that into his work?
One, you start drinking the juice. You know, you've been drinking that juice, and that juice is starting to, everybody else starting to drink that same juice you're drinking. So there's a piece of you that feels really good, and because you buy into a system and the system's starting to work, you know. And then you have the whole, you know, nobody believed in us but us mantra, yeah, which
Mitch,
you know,
dropped that yesterday,
right.
It's okay. The coaches haven't played that card,
no,
though.
But Mitch did, and yeah. I mean, he's an extension of Nagy, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
Show transition on The Score. No holds barred show interaction. Now, three times a day on The Score between Mully and Hall and Bernstein and McKnight at 9 a.m.
How quickly do they launch Cody Parkey if he hits the upright
hits
yet again?
Upright, if he goes wide right, or
goes
left.
Wide right several times, if he can't,
he misses
score.
A 37-yarder that would give them a one-point lead with 2 minutes to go.
This will be it.
Minute one between Bernstein and McKnight and McNeil and Parkins.
Have you hung up on any of your...